And this year-long series of questions that Jesus asked people, we're discovering that he was the great questioner and didn't provide very many clear answers. But through the questions that he asked of others, directed our attention to things he wanted us to think about. And that is true in today's scripture as well, in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 7 through 15. As John's disciples were leaving in a place that many were gathered, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Let's pray. Lord, give us ears to hear your word for us today, and lips to speak your truth, and hearts to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. What did you go to see? You know, I could rephrase that as, who did you want John the Baptist to be? By the time of this reading, John had been arrested for challenging Herod, and there was a lot of talk going around about who John the Baptist was and wasn't. Some would have thought it was great that he'd stood up for what he believed and had been arrested. Others would have thought that being in prison was proof that he shouldn't be followed. So Jesus took the opportunity that day to stop and set the record straight about John. "Who did you go to see?" he asked. "Did you go to see something dramatic and entertaining?" Many did. "Did you go expecting a grand show?" Many did. "Did you go expecting a political leader who would overthrow the Romans?" Many did, and would have been sorely disappointed that he was in prison instead of leading and winning a rebellion. Or maybe Jesus was asking, "Did you go to see the main act and find out that it was only the warm-up act?" And that was true for many of them also. Some just went because he was the latest crazy zealot out in the wilderness and they wanted to make fun of him. So Jesus began by telling them what John wasn't. He wasn't a reed swayed by the wind. He asked the question, "Did you go to see a reed swayed this way and that by the wind?" He made it clear that John was not someone whose opinion was swayed by popular opinion. Nor was he someone weak who would break with the slightest breeze. Unlike a reed, John's faith in Christ could not be shaken, even to the extent of being imprisoned for it. It was founded on a particular revelation at the time that John baptized Jesus. And by the way, there's a drop or two of water from the River Jordan in that baptismal water this morning. From the place where Jesus was baptized by John. At that time, John and the others could see the visible descent of the Holy Spirit onto Jesus, accompanied by a voice from heaven declaring Jesus to be the Son of God. Jesus started by saying who John wasn't, and then he moved into saying who John was. Maybe he wanted to correct misperception of who John the Baptist was. For sure, he wanted people to know John was legitimate. His prophecy was legitimate and was legitimized by the power of the Holy Spirit within him. This passage directly follows John's followers coming to ask some questions of Jesus on his behalf, and it's interesting to notice that Jesus didn't praise John until John's followers had left. He wasn't trying to impress anybody or compliment anybody, but he was talking about John in order to teach his own disciples something important about who they should follow and why. He was teaching them about the character of a leader worthy of their loyalty. So here's how he described John: as unshakable, as greater than an ordinary prophet. And that's high praise from Jesus. John was greater than most prophets because he spoke for God, preparing the way for the Messiah, a once in eternity event. As I prepared this week, I kept giving thanks to God that I was not preaching this sermon a year ago in the middle of hot and heavy political campaigns. It would have been easy to do and so misinterpreted. It's easy to see parallels with politicians who base their campaign promises on focus groups and opinion polls rather than things they believe in and are passionate about. That was not the character of John the Baptist. His positions were unchanging. He was there to do what God called him, no matter what the consequences. He was inspired by God, equipped by God, and fueled by God. Those are the kinds of leaders that we need. People of unshakable faith who will go where God is leading, no matter what the consequences. And in John's case, it led to prison. Another characteristic of John's is that he not only told people what he was against, but what he was for. He was clearly against sin and for following the law and will of God. We need to be clear, not only in what we're against, but what we're for. Too many people complain about the world today, drug addictions, crime, etc., and there's a lot to complain about. But complaining doesn't fix anything. I had a meeting this week. Last week, I told you a lot about our new relationship with the schools and everything that's happening and blossoming. And I also mentioned that I would be meeting with a couple of clergy because I'm seeking to form a clergy group in our community. And we talked about that possibility over lunch. And one of them asked me a very pointed and splendid question. And I wish I could remember exactly how he phrased it. I don't. But my answer, I remember my answer, which is in and of itself something miraculous. My answer was, I am more concerned with establishing what we are for than what we are against. with being more positive than negative, and more proactive than reactive. Now, his response to my answer to his question was that he almost shot up from the table as he grabbed my hand and shook it, saying, "Too much of our time as Christians is spent making people afraid of what's happening in the world in order to scare them into following Jesus. We need to tell them the positive reasons and quit allying ourselves with fear mongers." Isn't there truth in that? You will probably be very happy to know that at that point I wanted to jump up and kiss him, but I didn't. I restrained myself and tried to act dignified. Whether it's individually, as a church, as a community, as a global organization, there's too much fear and negativity in our world. And we need to take a positive stance for what we stand for rather than only what we're against. Recently, I was talking with a very young banker, and he told me that he goes to a non-denominational church. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that phrase has always struck me as odd. And I told him that. I said, why would anybody want to define themselves by what they're not instead of what they are? Surely there's a better phrase than non-denominational. What does that mean? Does that mean you don't believe in denominations? Or does it mean that you want to be an opening and welcoming body no matter who walks in the door? You don't have to belong to a denomination to attend. If that's what it means, why not come up with a positive phrase? Why do we have to define ourselves by who we aren't or what we don't believe in? If you're anti-drug, and of course everybody is, then what do we stand for? In this church, more and more, we're beginning to stand for strong relationships with the school and community that will support children to make good decisions, not bad. If you're anti-crime, what does that mean? For me, it means the same thing. Let's align ourselves with those causes, people, and activities that help people to make good choices, not bad. Let's stand for something, not just against. I believe that's what Jesus was saying when he was talking about John the Baptist. He was telling us to look for leaders who know what they believe in and are willing to stand up for it. There was plenty going on in Jesus' time that inspired fear, but Jesus inspired hope, not dread. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. As I said earlier, today is a communion Sunday. Communion is open to all who wish to have a relationship with Jesus. Today's communion will be received in the seats, and the ushers will be bringing communion to you. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus could have been focused on the painful, negative, destroying, life-destroying events that were in his immediate future. Instead, He did a positive, wondrous, amazing, life-giving thing. At that meal, he took bread and he blessed it, and knowing what was going to happen to him, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup from that meal and gave thanks to God and blessed it. And he said to his followers who were gathered there, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of God's mighty acts in Christ Jesus, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with God's sacrifice for us. And we ask for God's blessing upon these gifts of bread and the cup. Pour out your blessing on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the juice of the grape. By them, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in one purpose, in one unity of the Spirit for the redemption of the world. Amen. Will those who are helping to serve communion come forward? And will the ushers prepare? This is the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. Take and drink. Our closing hymn this morning has a message for a 100th birthday and a brand new baby girl. And as you seek to live out the promises you made on behalf of Elliot, remember to tell her what you stand for. Yeah. Let's sing together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.